garden myths. And garden myths are very popular. The act of these activities are popular, even though they have been debunked by science, good science, and people continue to do such.
Right. So it's a common problem that people follow these myths because, you know, somebody told them that it worked and maybe something else worked, but...
And somebody you love told you this and you continue to do such even though it's been proven that it doesn't work. And maybe you're not aware that it doesn't work, and that's fine. We're going to enlighten you in these several of these acts.
Right. So the first one is...
Potato Tower.
Potato Tower, which is probably... I want to say maybe your favorite garden myth.
The concept or the premise of a potato tower is a 2-foot by 2-foot square box that's about 4 foot tall. It's got poles on all four corners, and you plant the potatoes in the lower on the ground. You cover it with soil, and then as the potato grows, you fill in or you attach the outer board. Some people leave all the boards intact, and then as the potato grows internally inside the box, they continue to cover it over. Because the thought process is that as long as the potato is growing, the longer the vine, the more potatoes that vine will produce, and by keeping it confined, the thing on the internet, you'll get 100 pounds of potatoes in 4 square feet. Now, potatoes do come in determinate, indeterminate varieties, but that doesn't mean if you have a 17-foot-long potato stalk that there will be potatoes growing on every square inch of that vine. It just simply is not possible by nature. It is a predetermined amount of potatoes based on the conditions in which is set forth for that potato to produce. You will see hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of videos when you go online to YouTube and search potato tower building, how to build one. And that everything I just told you is the same. We're going to get 100 pounds of potatoes in this box. And as they grow, you continue to backfill and all the potatoes are all that. You will find 0 videos online of 100 pounds of potatoes. You'll find many videos online where the quantity of potatoes harvested is very minimal, almost exactly the same amount of potatoes that was planted. And they give certain, you know, oh, well, this is probably why this happened and this is why that happened. Potatoes are not designed that way. That's why you don't see commercial growers, and commercial growers are in the business to produce as much as possible, to ship out as much as possible, to make as much money as possible. If it was doable and feasible and it worked, you would not see fields of potatoes. You would see boxes of potatoes that would produce 100 pounds a box, and they would be producing millions of pounds of potatoes in a field. Instead of burying them, they would have boxes in them. Pine needles, Holly.
So the theory is that pine needles are acidic, and if you add them to your soil or your compost or use them as mulch, that they will add too much acid or increase the acidity in your compost garden, what have you. And they make great mulch.
They do.
And also, I think that slugs don't like them, if I remember correctly.
Hit and miss.
But they don't add, because of the process of them, between them falling off the tree.
On the tree, they're 3.5 approximately acidity.
Right, and then when they fall off, it's about 0.5, I think.
Well, by the time they fall and they decompose, they neutralize. And you don't have that acidity in the soil at all. So, yes, you can make great mulch. If you include them into your compost bin, you don't want to add more than 10% of the overall volume because of the length of time it takes to break down. But there is no scientific-based method that shows that, we put them in the soil, and the soil changed to an acidity, and now we can grow blueberries here. That just doesn't work. Doesn't work.
It's not how it works. It's not true. And
if you don't like science, go off of nature.
Right. Well, okay. Anyway, so science
and
is nature.
And some of you may have been doing some of these and continue to do these, and it doesn't work. And if you think that it works, it's not working. Because there's you can't take pine needles and put them in the soil and make the soil change unless you're adding additional elements in order to make that soil change a different pH.
Absolutely correct. So that's one myth, or another myth, or second myth.
We got like seven shows here, but we're only going to pick some of these.
We gave a whole hour presentation on many of these. Yeah. So the other one, or next one, is blossom and rot myths. So blossom and rot is on tomatoes, and it's when you go to pick your tomato.
Well, it's on a lot of plants, but we're focusing on the tomato aspect here.
It's when you go to pick your tomato and you look at the bottom and it's brownish, it's all black. Blackish. Like, it just looks like it's rotten, essentially, and that's what the rot is blossom and rot. And so some people have theories about this.
But what is first of all, what is really occurring? And then we'll go over what some of these myths are.
Sure. So what's occurring is that the tomato plant has a lack of access to calcium. And so with that, it causes that blossom end rot.
It can't develop.
Yeah, it can't develop properly.
So it's shorted what it needs. So it just kind of uses what it's got and doesn't have enough.
Right. And so that's when the blossom end rot happens. And so what happens is that a lot of people say, you know, add Epsom salt, add XYZ. Or at the time of planting, people do things as well. And we'll get to that in a second here. But what happens is that once you water the plant, because you're adding Epsom salt or adding something, and then you water it in, it releases that calcium into the plant and it takes care of the problem.
Now, there is a 1% chance in some parts of the country that you are lacking calcium. But for the rest of us, we have more than enough calcium than we know what to do with in our soil. And the soil is too dry, the plant can't get it up and access it, and that's why we have these problems. So yeah, Epsom salt. People use Epsom salt. Oh, but Epsom salt is magnesium sulfate. The plant is a lack of calcium. You go to your periodic table, you can't make one work the other. Doesn't work that way.
No.
People will add Tums or powdered milk at the time of planting. Now those both have calcium in it, but you're wasting your time. Just have a consistent amount of moisture in your plants. Drip irrigation system from dripworks.com. However you're watering, as long as you keep the soil damp, you're going to be fine. You're not going to have problems with your blossom end rot issues. It's when you have really dry conditions and you're not watering and the plants are trying to develop. That's when it happens. You want to go ahead, and if you see that in the early stages, remove those tomatoes so the plant's not putting energy out trying to develop tomatoes that don't have the necessary availability to develop correctly. It will not, if you start watering when you see that, it's not going to fix the problem currently, but you remove those damaged tomatoes and it will greatly decrease the opportunity to have blossom end rot the next growth. The tomatoes take about 20 to 30 days. Each flower cluster, a flower will take 30 days to have a tomato.
Right. Correct. So, yeah. So that's another myth that we have. And we talked about those. And then other one is three sisters planting, and that the bean portion of the three sister planting will feed the corn nitrogen.
Corn is extremely heavy feeder of nitrogen, and beans do not produce, they produce nitrogen for themselves. The procedure of the three sisters method is to utilize the corn, which is the stalk, which is the trellis for the bean, and the squash to cover the soil to reduce evaporation for the bean and the corn and the squash. That's where your three sisters comes in. Nothing more, nothing else. That's what it is.
Right. That's exactly what it is. And you can use like a cover crop to add nitrogen to your soil, but it takes a much longer process than just one season where theoretically the beans are feeding the corn. That's not how it works.
One more. Adding sugar makes your tomatoes sweeter. Yes, people do this.
I cannot believe people do this, but there's no science there.
You can't chemically alter the sweetness of a tomato.
No.
It's a variety.
Yeah, that's all there is to it. There's sweeter varieties. There's more acidic varieties. Adding sugar to your soil probably is attracting some pests, possibly.
Bees.
Wasps. But
mice. I don't know.
Who knows? Gophers.
More problems than if you just left the sugar in the house.
And it's obviously a waste of resources, money, whatever. So don't do that either.
So do you have a garden myth, or do you have a practice in your garden that you don't know if it's really beneficial? Send it on over to gardentalkradio@gmail.com and we will confirm or deny your practice and whether you should continue to do such. What you should continue to do as listeners, and Walton's Inc. has heard this, and that's why they're returning next year for their fourth consecutive year on the program, is Walton's Inc. has everything but the meat.
Yeah, so Walton's, we know you care about where your meat comes from. Definitely your canning, preserving your fruits and vegetables. At Walton's, you can get all the equipment, seasoning, and supplies to make sausage, jerky, and any other meat product your way to your high standards. Do you want to make snack sticks that people will actually like? Walton's created MeatJustSticks.com, an informational site to help you make the best finished product. They have their full line of meat grinders, mixers, sausage stuffers to help you go from animal to edible. Walton's everything but the meat. If you use code GROW50 to save 10% off your orders of $50 or more at WaltonsInc.com. For more information, please visit theWisconsinVegetableGardener.com.